You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Tammy Ventor. She's talking to me from Brooklyn. Tammy, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tammy, we're talking still, well, this is, I guess, peak pandemic, December 9th, record day here in the U.S. What's happening in your studio, or what are you working on now? I want to talk about past projects and your work in general, but what's happening right now? We're in such a strange time that it's affecting artists in a lot of different ways. So I'm curious what you're working on at the moment in your studio.
I've been working on videos, obviously, because performances are not going on right now. Although, you know, now and then I do have these like moments where I'm working in my studio and I feel like I'm working on a performance, but then I get a little, the performance is coming, is just being created, but I don't know to what end. And then there's been several videos that I've been working on. I just finished a video a few weeks ago, and I'm letting it kind of sit and see what it'll be. Also, I'm working on an artist book with Mickey Carmi, who I've been working with and showing with for over 10 years. And it's going to be published by Minerva Projects. And that's something that is very interesting. It's run by, it was formed by Yasmin Siddiqui. She also writes for Hyperallergic. She's an editor, a curator, and she has been following our practice. So we've been working and putting that book together. Actually, these past months have been good for that because everyone is suddenly, you know, has more time and like to invest in something like that. So that's been moving along and it should be coming out pretty soon.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I'd like to talk about the videos, but tell me about the artist book. That's exciting.
Yeah,
and
I
think books, especially artist books, have a relationship to performance and installation or time-based and narrative, right? So what's happening in the book?
The book is, well, you know, it's a really beautiful project where Yasmin has been collaborating with us. So Minerva Projects is going to be publishing two books for our works. One is going to be called Archives, and it's just an archive of the past 20 years of, you know, performance texts, videos, performance stills, and Mickey Carmi's, you know, paintings, photographs, drawings. So it's like it's a two-sided book that meets in the middle because our practices are separate, but we have joined in exhibiting the projects for the past 12 years, and that's been a very interesting experiment because it's been a very hard project for the art institutions to digest. I think because the mix between a female performance artist and a male painter is just like so politically incorrect, I guess, or I don't know what
that's,
it is.
That's interesting. That's really interesting and odd. Why that should be
it's
problematic.
So, I don't know, because people are boxing everything into mediums and you know, political kind of agendas. And it's really odd, you know, so like art or content or any kind or the artistic energy is like the last thing that the institutions focus on. Whereas, you know, the public is very receptive to it because that's what, you know, artists and the public, I should say, like colleagues of ours and public have been very responsive, but the institutions have been really having like a hard time digesting it. So it's been really interesting. And this archive is like something very satisfying for us because it really like it's an accumulation of everything that we've done until the present moment. And there's also for me personally with my performance texts and video texts, which I never really get a chance to, you know, I mean, a lot of the things I write, I don't end up using because they don't work for the performance or the video, but I do like them as the texts themselves. So this has become a platform for them. So it's been an ongoing.
The book has become a platform for that.
Yeah.
You're saying.
Yeah.
And how is the collaborator engaging with those texts, or how is the collaboration happening? How do they influence one another?
Do you mean the collaboration between Mickey and myself or between Yasmin and us?
Well, actually, all of that. Yeah, Yasmin's the publisher, right? But I really meant, between the artists.
Right. She's
I
can talk about Yasmin's role in a minute because that's also kind of an interesting role. It's not purely publishing, but she's doing a different book. So the collaboration. I'm sorry. So your question was about the text, how the text.
Yeah, how the painter works with that, how you collaborate, what both your roles are in the book, how they come together, which is the institutional issue, right? But how you both collaborate to produce a.
Yeah, we've learned a lot. The book is kind of like also like a mirror of our exhibitions in the past 12 years, right? Because we've exhibited together, and that has been also a process of understanding how do we show painting, performance, video, works on paper together in a way that is organic. Where the audience of each other's works, we're commenting on each other's work. So there is a fusion, which is in the work itself, but it's kind of an exhibition platform, So images, it's mixed. Images and text come together in a very, organic way where the energy of the works is the focus of the curation of the book. Instead of it being thematic or medium-based or, agenda-based, there's more it's more about the energy, the tone, the intensity of the work that brings it together.
And let's talk about some of your...
Sense.
That makes sense, sure, that does make sense. And let's talk about your recent video work. I know there'll be links in the interview to different work so people can learn more about what you're doing, but perhaps walk us through a recent video production you've made in the pandemic or this year, if you want. Or we could talk about a past one, but I'd love to talk about something here you've done this year.
Yeah, when this all started, we'd opened a show here at a space called Chicho in Brooklyn Heights, which was it got shut down a week after the opening, and I was supposed to perform, and that didn't happen. And then, this whole craziness. So I had, within me this performance that I had to basically kill, right? Because, a performance is, something that I work on for over a year, and it becomes part of my, the energy, the body, the mind, you're in it, and then, you have nowhere to perform it. So I had to kind of get over that. And then my brain was just fused with this anger and all these statements and these, manifestos and all this, ideologies that I had, so it's spouting out. So that was terrible for my practice. So I made all these very didactic, terrible works. And then finally, after that, I started to, sharpen, in a way, and get back some of the creative chaos that one needs in order, I guess, to make something more interesting that's not like an excerpt from a newsreel. And so I've been working on, I've had a few short ones that are actually, I put a couple of those on YouTube just because I felt felt so urgently about showing them that, which is not something that I usually, I always feel it, but in this time it was a response, which is a very problematic, I think.
A response to what? The pandemic?
Response to what's going on, yeah. A response to the way the pandemic is being handled by the institutions and also, by people with a paycheck, we should say more clearly. And then also just the word pandemic that everyone was spouting, right? And then all this information coming to view where, what's happening right now, it's unreal, right? It's surreal. It's kind of like a horror sci-fi movie, but at the same time, a lot of the explanations for it that we're being given, I don't think are true. And so you end up listening to all these what so-called conspiracy explanations, and you think, wow, this is not a conspiracy, this is actually what's happening. Not all of it, obviously, right? Not all of it. We're still keeping our sanity here, but a lot of it is like not being said. A lot of who's surviving right now are people who maybe also have a little bit of control over how this is being handled. And so, you know, there's a lot of anger and
frustration. Meaning people with the means, people with, as you say, a paycheck?
Well, that's one layer of it, right? Like the people who are giving orders to citizens are people who are getting paid. So they essentially have a job and a paycheck. And basically what's happening is that they're not letting anyone else do that. So that's a little infuriating. And all under a guise of, you know, this is for your safety. Again, this very American word and obsession of being safe. Whereas, you know, first of all, this isn't anything but safe. Second, there is a virus. So we're already not safe. And the inability to accept that is problematic. It's very childish, I think. And I think also personal responsibility has been completely thrown out the window. People have put their health in the hands of hospitals, their food in the hands of big food industries, and then they're like victims of a cycle that they're not even aware of. You know what I'm saying? And so,
yeah.
But the conversation is all about, let's be careful, but it's not very careful to have kids not going to school, people not working. I mean, I think it's very, very brutal and violent in the guise of something else, you know? And I'm not saying, I think it's, and then, of course, the people who are, you know, pharmaceutical industries, like big money, big, huge money that's rolling this whole thing, with this whole obsession with the vaccines and the changing of the word pandemic is currently going on. Of course there is, you know, COVID is real. It is killing. People are very vulnerable. And I think the questions need to be asked about why are people so vulnerable? What are we and who are we? Who's responsible for our lives? Are we not responsible, and how are we going to take back some of that control over our bodies and over our minds, which is slowly being taken away from us, which is a very scary thing, I think.
Right, and yeah, that is scary. And so does your recent performances over the last month or so address this? Is that what you're saying? That's part of the content or the narrative?
Yeah, well, you know, mostly with what I'm working on, it's just the mere stupidity of the way that the human mind, including my own and everyone else's, kind of wants to obey, wants to have a very simple answer, believes that everything is for their own good. I mean, I'm not excluding myself in this, right? So this very, like, stupid, infantile, basic urge to follow along and believe, it's a wonderful thing, but it also could be manipulated to being a terrible thing. And so I think the performances, what I was saying before about in the beginning, I was all like these angry manifestos, kind of like what I was babbling about right now. It's not interesting to see in an artwork. And so trying to purify it into just a very basic human energy of being very, very eager to follow something that you don't even understand. Does that make sense? I don't know. Something.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And like you say, it's almost like a childish response to want to obey orders. It's also the same kind of response, I would imagine, to not obey orders, right? The one thing a child has in its own power is the right to say no.
So. Yeah, but a child has a healthier mind, I guess, than adults, right? Because they're more in tune with themselves and with their immediate surroundings, whereas adults are more contaminated by maybe what they think is they should be doing, what they have been told is by the very certain, quote unquote, reliable sources that they should be doing. And so it's all, and of course, they're in complete denial of what they get out of it. So, you know, we're just witnessing this kind of very, very supposedly humanistic, right, crowd. I mean, in this frame, and all over the world, I'm sure, saying, hey, you know, giving us all this advice and these kind of orders, but in fact, they are ignoring everyone can survive it through that. So what are you saying? So there's this social justice kind of shell to people who consider themselves very humanistic and humane and cautious, but what they're actually saying is, or imposing upon the vast majority, is a destructive situation, which is really, really, the social classes here become very clear, you know, and the divisions, you know, it's a socioeconomic thing as it is. I think it's painful to watch how people lose their own sense of real, what's real and what's not.
And how does your performance address this? What is the video that you've made, and how does it address this exactly?
Well, the video, it's a lot of it is these urges, you know, like basically, this urge to. So this new video that I worked on, let me see if I could focus on something specific, right, is a mesh of all these things we've been, like, it's a mesh of this first of all, religion of the, you know, suddenly, like, how should I, it's hard for me to rationally explain what I kind of vomited and shat out of my...
I know. It's always just, you know, it's always very difficult to be talking with artists in a podcast about visual work, performative work, you know. So what you're saying is helpful because it is, you know, the thinking behind it. So, but yeah.
It is the thinking, but it's not at all, yeah, but it's not at all what is in the video. Obviously, I would never make a video.
So what is in the video? Yeah, so what is in the video?
There
can be a link to it here, just people can see.
Yeah, like this very recent video, there's imagery of flying COVID viruses along with very primitive masks, talking about a conversation of like science and epidemiology in a religious way, a kind of a Christ, very kind of distorted, I should say, I don't know, ridiculous or disgusting image of like a pseudo-religious parent-son kind of analogy where there's this indoctrination of certain ideas that are considered to be good and right now, like believing in science, which, of course, I don't want to be misunderstood. Of course, science is good. And COVID is real. But at the same time, what people are doing is making a religion out of it and imposing things into it which do not exist. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's, there's something about that. And then there's some Nazi footage in there. And again, flying COVID. And some academics with their titles and their prizes and their awards. Of course, all myself, as usual, with these characters. There's this kind of Christmas song with an immigrant singing Christmas carols and images of the Eternal Jew, Nazi propaganda film. I don't know. Does that make any sense? That's kind of like...
It does, and then that's a public video. There'll be a link to that here as well?
Sure, yeah. That's a very, very new video. I'm still letting it ferment to see if it's terrible or good, but I would love to actually maybe add a link to that so people can see
okay.
it. Yeah.
And I want to ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment? I was curious what everyone's reading.
Reading several books at once right now. One of them is The Secret Teachings of Plants by Stephen Howard Booner. It's a really mind-blowing book, and actually very, I think, has helped me kind of ground my understanding of what's going on right now. And then also, I'm rereading bits of The Origins of Totalitarianism by Hannah Arendt. This is also a mind-blowing book. And, yeah, those are the two that I'm currently back and forth into.
Very exciting.
Right now.
Thanks for sharing that with me, and also your work. Tammy, thanks so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and your work.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.